How can we have financial security for the future? How can we sort of provide for ourselves in the years ahead? And for those who are getting on, providing for their retirement. You know, do we buy shares? Is that the way to go? What about if there's a global financial crisis again and the money disappears? Should you trust a fund manager to look after the money, to manage it and try and make it grow? Or should you put it into bricks and mortar? Should you buy some property? What if the property bubble bursts? What happens then? How can we provide and find security? Well, there's one man who wanted to do that, and he wasn't happy with all those options, and so he just stashed the money under the mattress. And over his years, he actually got quite a bit there under the mattress. And he decided it would be good if he could take it with him, and so he made his wife promise that she would put it in the coffin with him. Sure enough, he died, and the wife had promised, so she gathered all the money out from under the mattress, counted it all out, put it in the bank and wrote a cheque for the full amount and put it in the coffin and sent it off with him. So how do we provide for our eternal security? We can't take it with us, and that's not going to help anyway. So how do we know? Well, last week we began looking at 2 Peter, and at the end of the first reading in verse 11, you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Sounds really good, doesn't it? But how can we have that confidence? How can we know that we'll be welcomed home by Jesus, welcomed into his eternal kingdom? How can we be sure of those things? Well, some people put a lot of trust in their experience. When they have some experience of God, it may be some great answer to prayer, it may be receiving a vision or some healing, maybe the gift of tongues or something like that. So they have some great experience, and it makes them feel very confident. And experiences can be very encouraging. But there are times when our prayers aren't answered. We pray and just nothing seems to happen. There are times when our experience seems to tell us God doesn't care. Times when, it just seems like God isn't there at all. Times of great injustice or tragedy, all sorts of things. If our confidence is in experience, it's easily shattered. Experience can be really confusing and seem contradictory. So we need a much firmer foundation for our confidence. Other people put their confidence in reason and our ability to sort of nut things out for ourselves. If something sort of seems to make sense to us, we'll say, that must be true. If we can reason it out by our own thinking. But our reasoning is based on presuppositions and assumptions and various things that are really corrupted by sin. And in the end, human reason doesn't give us the facts about God or about eternal life, about heaven. The third thing that people will rely on is tradition. Basically, what they've been brought up to believe. It might be a fear of evil spirits, it might be a trust in lucky charms, it might be prayers to Mary, it might be all sorts of different things that they've been brought up with. And some traditions may be true, but how do you know whether they're true or not? Because many aren't. So how can we be sure of the truth? Well, we need a reliable foundation for our faith, and Peter shows us that God has given us that in the Bible, in the scriptures of the Old Testament and the New Testament. In verse 19, he talks about a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. A light shining in a dark place. We live in a world of confused ideas about God, about justice, about truth, about morals. We need to take it seriously that the world is right off track. So we need a light from outside. It's a dark world, and we need God to show us the truth so that we can know what to believe. And the Word of God is that solid foundation for our confidence. It shows the truth so that we won't be led astray. So Peter, in this passage, says in verse 12, "So I will always remind you of these things." And in verse 13, "I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." Well, he's saying it's really important, even if it's, you've heard it all before, once again, he's going to remind us of the things that we need to know. And we need to ask, what is the source of the things we believe? Where do they actually come from? If you follow the Waitara Creek down behind Hornsby, down to where it meets Barara Creek, you'll come to the Fish Ponds waterhole. And it's a beautiful, inviting waterhole. You can see it there on a hot day. You know, it'd be great to have a swim and cool off there. Well, don't do it, because the source of that water is the Hornsby Sewage Treatment Works. That's where it's come from. It's effluent water that's flowing into that pool there. Looks good, but very deceptive. And there are warning signs warning you not to swim or to drink the water, because it's, the source is polluted. Now, if you can find a pure source for water, a mountain spring or something like that, something that you know is coming from a pure source, then you feel free to drink that, but not that lot there. So you have to check the source of the water. And it's the same with teaching about God. Does it come from human ideas, human thinking, or is it from God himself? Security and truth are not in new ideas. So we read on in 2 Peter, we see that the false teachers brought new ideas. And sometimes old ideas can be said to be, you know, out of date, not modern. And there can be excitement in something new, some fresh revelation, someone saying the Spirit is revealing this to us today, things like that. But Peter takes them back to what God has revealed in his word as the only reliable source, God himself. Because that's the foundation for our faith. And so he speaks about the apostles' teaching. And he says, we apostles, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So the apostles didn't make up what they were teaching. It's not just human ideas about God, but it's stuff that God has revealed to them. As you read on in chapter 2, it talks about in verse 3 there, about the false teachers, as it says, "In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up." So the source of what they're saying is their own minds, where the apostles are giving us what has come from God himself. So a message might sound exciting. Some people can speak very persuasively and powerfully. But you've got to ask, you know, what's the source of it? Where is the information actually coming from? The apostles had seen God's revelation in Jesus. They were eyewitnesses. They'd heard a voice from God himself. And he goes on to say, "Jesus received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves have heard his voice, this voice that came from heaven, when we were with him on the sacred mountain." So, of course, he's talking about the transfiguration. He's talking about when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain when Moses and Elijah appeared to him. It's interesting that he points to the transfiguration and not the resurrection. So the apostles there with Jesus, they saw Jesus' ultimate glory on the mountain, a glory that wasn't revealed in his resurrection body. And so it's like a window is opened onto heaven itself. The glory of heaven is revealed to them. God and his glory is seen in Jesus. And then, of course, Jesus commanded them to convey that message to the world. And that's what the apostles did. Of course, the word apostle itself means one who is sent, an authorized messenger. So one who speaks not his own message, but the message of the one who sent him. The apostles spoke what God has sent them to preach. And then, having spoken it, they wrote it down so that we have it in the New Testament. We have God's word written. So that the New Testament isn't human ideas about God, but it's God's word written for us. In chapter three, he says, "I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles." And so the word of the prophets and the word of the apostles is put together as God's word to us. And then later in chapter 3, he says, Paul writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures. You see what Peter's doing? He's putting Paul's writing, the letters that Paul writes, as scripture also, as the word of God. And of course, scripture comes from, it means written, just like a script in a play is the written words that the actors will then speak as they perform. So God's word has been spoken first and then scriptured, written in scripture for us. So the Bible, as we have it written for us, is God's word to us. It is the foundation for that confidence. The teaching of the apostles came from God himself. And then we have the word of the Old Testament, the prophet's word. And in verse 19, Paul goes on. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. And you'll do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So Peter is saying that the Old Testament, like the Apostles' Word, is completely reliable. It is true light shining in a dark place. It is true light because God is the source of that, not humans. We often have been camping up near Barrington Tops, and beside this beautiful mountain river that flows down out of the national park, and it's beautiful, clear mountain water. Its source is a pure source, and so we've drunk that water and swum in it, and it's great. So like this pure water, a pure source, so also the word of the prophets in the Old Testament comes from God. And so he says in verse 20, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, he knows it was written by human people, humans with their failings. But he says the origin of the message was God himself. And twice he denies that the ideas came from the prophets themselves. He says no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophets' own interpretation of things. And then he says no prophecy ever had its origin in the human will. source is not human. He's emphasizing it. It's not human, but God himself is the source, a pure source for a message that we can rely on. And God's Holy Spirit has guided them in the writing so that it will be the truth for us. So we have the truth of God's word in the Old and the New Testament. The truth of the Old Testament, I mean, is confirmed also by the fact that Jesus always treated the Old Testament as God's word. He submitted himself to the word from the Old Testament in obedience to God. And then he spoke about it as something that cannot be broken, as a true word from God. And then the fact that he fulfills so many of the prophecies of the Old Testament shows the reliability of those prophecies and the fact that God will continue to fulfill those promises he made in the Old Testament. So we can trust God as a God who keeps his word. We can be sure that God will keep his promises to us, that we have a secure foundation for confidence in God's word. Because sometimes it may seem that God is 1,000 miles away. It may seem that you wonder if God is there at all. But God promises to be with us always. He promises to hear our prayers as a father, caring for his children. He promises forgiveness, eternal life, things that we can be sure of. At times, you know, our reason might think, you know, how can that be true? Things we're brought up with, we read Scripture and we think, you know, surely what I was brought up with was right. But Scripture confronts us with something which we need to take to heart, and we might need to change what we've been brought up with. The Scripture is that foundation. There is the truth from God himself. Jesus himself uses the illustration of a foundation when he says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. A house built on sand will collapse, but a life built on the foundation of God's word is secure." And in fact, God's word is the only secure foundation that we have for this life and for the next. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you haven't left us just groping around in the dark, that we aren't just subject to our experiences, which can be good and bad, or to our reason, which can be deceptive, or even to the things that we've been brought up with, which again may be right, may not be right. Lord, that you have shown us your truth, you have given us your promises, and we can be secure in those things. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.